So Maharaj took that instruction wholeheartedly, and Maharaj was the Minister of Art and Culture and Education. Maharaj, I'm not sure if it's still.
Minister of Culture.
Okay, so and Maharaj built a very, very beautiful temple in Ujjain, and Mataji can tell a lot about that
and
temple.
We can show something at the end of the program.
Sure.
We can show.
Okay. So in 2006, Maharaj inaugurated the temple, and that was built very fast-paced, you know. It's like one of the record, like in construction, right, Maharaj?
Nine months, 20 days.
9 months. Huge temple. Three beautiful altars, Radha Krishna deities, Krishna Balaram, and Shri Gaur Nithai.
And all marble.
And
carved in white marble.
Carved in white marble. And also one of the, you know, prominent feature of that temple is that temple runs a Food for Life program which feeds, I heard 23,000, it might be more now, right, Maharaj?
Well, 25.
Around 25,000 school-going kids every day. So that's an amazing achievement. And Maharaj also produced a mega television series called Abhay Charan. And it was broadcasted on India National Channel. And, you know, millions of people got to know about Srila Prabhupada by this effort of Maharaj and much more. So we are so happy to have Maharaj here. Let's loudly chant Hari Bol to welcome Maharaj.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Thank you so much. Okay, it's all right. So, I'm very happy to be here. How is everyone doing?
Yeah, good, Maharaj.
Very good. And to be a devotee of Krishna means the ultimate perfection of life. Is it we are just claiming that because we are devotees of Krishna? Or we have become devotees of Krishna because that's the ultimate goal of life? Sometimes I tell people from other denominations and other groups, religious groups, that this is the best I have found so far. If there is anything higher than this, please give it to me. I'll take it. But in last 35 years, I haven't found anything higher than Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada made it very clear to us that don't accept it blindly. Don't accept Krishna consciousness blindly. You question. You verify. And figure out what it actually is. Generally, a seeker, a spiritual seeker, is searching. His search may start in different spheres, but he will not stop until he finds the best. Isn't it? A sincere seeker, that is what he will go for. Because a sincere spiritual seeker is not a sentimentalist. He is not going to accept something because of some petty and frivolous attachment. In a way, you can say that A spiritual seeker is like a real businessman. What does a businessman do? He tries to get the best thing at the best price. And he will look around. He will shop around. And he'll find the best deal. And Prabhupada wanted us to see that we got the best deal. If there is any better deal, then we are businessmen. Like, we'll go for that. If a better product is available, then why should we go for that? But I do not know about you all, but at least I can tell you that I haven't found anything better than Krishna consciousness. Generally, a spiritual quest begins with a very basic consideration of karma. The first step of spiritual progress, or the first step towards spiritual life, is karma, or which can be described as karma yoga. What is karma yoga? Act in such a way that will give you spiritual benefit. That is dealt in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Everybody wants to fulfill his desire. Everybody wants to fulfill his desire. And the Vedas are telling that you act in a proper way, and then you'll be able to fulfill it. Like, you want something, there's a way to get it. That is dealt with in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Karma, principle of karma. As you sow, so shall you reap. And which is giving us an understanding of consideration of right action or pious action. Right action gives us beneficial result. Right action gives us happiness. And wrong action gives us distress. Right action or pious activity leads to happiness, and wrong action leads to suffering. So, does anybody want to suffer? Everybody wants to enjoy. So the simple consideration is, act in such a way that you will be able to enjoy. And what is enjoyment? Enjoyment basically is fulfillment of desire. When our desires are fulfilled, we feel happy. When desires are unfulfilled, then we suffer. Then we feel bad. And in this way, the Vedas are giving us the information how to fulfill our desires. What's your desire? You want to become very rich? Okay. Act in this way, or perform these sacrifices, you'll become very rich. You want to become a king? Okay. Act in this way, you'll become a king. You want to become the king of the whole world? Okay, perform such and such sacrifice, you'll be able to become. You want to become the king of the heavenly planets? Okay, perform these activities for so many times, you'll get the position of Indra. So in this way, the Vedas are actually giving the direction how to enjoy, how to fulfill our desires. But in spite of fulfilling all desires, ultimately one realizes, still I'm not happy. I wanted to become a rich man, I became a rich man. I wanted to become a king, I became a king. I wanted to become the king of the entire earth planet, I became the king of the earth planet. But still I am not satisfied. So then he considers that what do I actually want? This enjoyment in the material nature is not ultimately the goal of life. So let's find out what is the real goal of life. So then this is leading from Karmakanda to Gyanakanda. In Gyanakanda, one actually searches to find out what do we actually want and what is the consequences of what we are doing. And so this jnana leads to a point of sankha or analytical study, analyzes the material nature. What is this world? Where I am, where I got stuck, what it is actually. So this analytical study or sankha analyzes this world. That is one of the principal aspects of jnana. And the sankha analyzes that there are so many elements with which this material nature is made of. Principally, this material nature is made of five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And we have five senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch. Now these five senses interact with the five elements of nature and five objects of the senses are generated. Ether interacts with ears, sound is produced. Air interacts with skin, touch is produced. Fire interacts with eyes, form is produced. Water interacts with tongue, taste is produced. And earth interacts with nose and smell is produced. So in this way, there are sound, touch, form, taste, five objects of the senses. Then there are five working senses with which we become active. Those working senses are hands, legs, anus, belly, and genitals. Actually, it's not hand, it's speech, bark. Speech, legs, anus, belly, and genitals. So five working senses. How many did we get? Four fives are?
20.
Then they considered that there are three subtle elements. Mind, intelligence, and false ego. Then they further analyzed the sum total of the material element with which the entire creation came about, and that is called Mahatattva. So we got 24. The entire material nature has been analyzed. But then they considered that all these 24 considerations are objective in nature. They're objective. They're objects. But the object cannot exist without the subject. Right? So who is the subject? Subject is I. I am, therefore they are there. Right? Now the entire material nature has been analyzed with this 24 consideration, but we couldn't find the I there. So this 25th consideration of I is something beyond this nature. So in this way they are actually transcending the material nature and coming to the spiritual nature. The I is spiritual, beyond matter and the material nature. They didn't stop at that. There are many, eyes are many and minute. You have your eyes, I have my eyes, my eye. So we have so many, there are so many eyes. So, something that is many and minute must have an origin. So who is that origin? The Supreme I. The Super Soul. Spirit Soul and Super Soul. Actually, Sankha very elaborately explained it in the 11th canto of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, while instructing Uddhava. Krishna mentioned that this concept of Sankha are many. Some Sankha philosophers have considered 16, some consider 24, some consider 25, but some consider even 28. But the general consideration of Sankha is transcending the matter, coming to the spirit. That is the main purpose of Sankha. And how you know how Krishna described it in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna described this whole thing in just two verses. Bhumi rapo analo bayu khang mano buddhi revacha ahankara ityang me bhinna prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. This material nature is composed of these eight elements. But then Krishna is saying, Aparayam itastannam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhutam mahabaho jajedam dharijati jagat. All this material nature composed of these eight elements is inferior in nature. Aparayam itastu annam prakritim vidhi me param. Beyond that, there is a param, a superior nature of mind, and jiva bhutang, the living entities are coming from that superior nature. So, the same thing. This material nature is composed of eight elements, but beyond that, there is a superior nature, and the jiva bhutang, living entities are coming from that superior nature. And the jivas are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is initially identified as the Super Soul. So Spirit Soul and Super. So yoga actually is the process that is establishing the relationship between the spirit soul with the super soul. And what is the ultimate consideration, ultimate goal of yoga or ultimate achievement of yoga? Yoga has eight stages. Ashtanga yoga. There, yam, or external purification, niyam, internal purification, asana, the different postures to situate the soul properly in the body. That is the meaning of asana. Then pranayam, controlling the breathing, pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses from the objects of the senses. Then comes dhyana or meditation. Meditation upon whom? The super soul in the heart. Then when that meditation becomes fixed up, it is dharana. And when one sees the super soul in the heart, then it is samadhi. So this is how the jnana is leading to the perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the next step is, or next consideration is, natural consideration is, when the spirit soul sees the super soul, what happens? When somebody comes across someone who is very great, how does one feel? When you come across someone very great, you become humble. That's right. Yeah. You bow down in front of him. You surrender yourself to him. So this surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Super Soul is the beginning of devotion. When one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the devotion to the Lord begins. This surrender is called Sharanagati or Prapatti. Prapatti. Tamahang prapadde, I surrender unto you. This prapatti or surrender is the beginning of devotional service. So this is how we can see how gradually the search for spiritual progress or search for spiritual situation leads to devotion. Then devotion also has different levels. One aspect of devotion is devotional service mixed with fruitive desire. Mixed devotional service. Mixed devotional service. Mixed with what? We also previously considered karma and jnana. When devotion is mixed with fruitive desires, it is called karma mishra bhakti. Mishra bhakti. Mixed devotional service. When devotion to Krishna is mixed with knowledge, jnana, then it is jnana mishra bhakti. Karma mishra bhakti, bhakti, devotional service, leads to material enjoyment. When there is a desire for enjoyment, it is karma mishra bhakti. When devotion is mixed with the desire of liberation, it is jnana mishra bhakti. But when the devotion is free from karma and jnana, jnana karmad anabritam anukullena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama, then it is called pure devotional service. Pure, no mixture. What is impurity? Any element that is other than that is impure. So pure devotion is devoid of any impurities like karma mishra karma and jnana. Jnana karmad anabritam. free from the coverings of jnana and karma. So that is pure devotional service. Then pure devotional service also has different levels. Pure devotional service in the mood of servitorship. Then devotional service in the mood of friendship. Devotional service in the mood of parental. Just the way the parents love their child, when a devotee loves the Lord as his own child, that is vatsalya or parental love. And beyond that is madhur or conjugal relationship. Just as a young boy and young girl love each other, when there's a loving relationship between the Lord and the devotees, just as young girls love for a young boy, that is called madhur. Now these three devotions, like serving the Lord as a servant is natural tendency, because constitutionally every living entity is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is, Lord is the Supreme Master and every living entity is a servant. That is a natural relationship with the Lord. But friendship, parental and conjugal, these three relationships with the Lord are not natural. It's abnormal. Because friendship takes place between the equals. How can anyone become equal to God? Parental, the Lord becomes subordinate. How can anyone become superior to the Lord? And falling in love with the Lord as a handsome young boy, and the loving relationship between young girls and young boys, young boy. How can that be with the Lord? So these three relationships, as I said, are unusual or abnormal. It's not possible to have these kind of relationships with the Lord. But there is one very special area in the spiritual sky called Vrindavan, where these three relationships are predominant. These three relationships as friendship, yes, there Krishna has relationship with the cowherd boys of his similar age as friends. And they play like friends. And there is relationship that the Lord is treated like a young little boy, just as the parents treat their little child. And in Vrindavan, there are some girls who think that Krishna is the object of their love. So these three relationships are available in a place called Vrindavan. Now by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we got these special relationships available to us. Actually Krishna made this good fortune for us, appearing as Sri Chaitanya. In the spiritual sky, there is a region called Vrindavan, which is the topmost region of the spiritual world, where Krishna allows these relationships, Krishna allows his devotees to develop these relationships. Now the nice thing or unusual thing about that place is, in that place, in that region of the spiritual sky, Krishna is not God. He's a cowherd boy. With God, one cannot develop these relationships. Yeah. But with a village boy, it's possible. And that is what Krishna has done. In Vrindavan, Krishna is not playing the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is playing the role of a cowherd boy. And everyone there do not treat Krishna as God. They forgot that Krishna is God. Not really forgot. To them, Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of God. Actually, this kind of there are two types of forgetfulness. One kind of forgetfulness is out of ignorance. When you are in ignorance, then you forget. But there is another kind of forgetfulness is out of love. Like, for example, someone very dear to you has become a very big person. Like, for example, the son has become the president of the United States of America. It's not that the mother doesn't know that her son has become the president of the United States of America, but the mother doesn't treat him like the state president. To the mother, he is her son. She, to her, it doesn't really matter who you are. And when she comes late at home, she gets upset, chastises. So this is another kind of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness out of love. Now in Vrindavan, they have forgotten that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to their intense love for Him. And this forgetfulness is called Jogamaya, the arrangement of Jogamaya. So this is how it has been established what actual Vrindavan situation is. And this Vrindavan is revealed to this world only once in a day of Brahma. Brahma's day consists of, do you know how long is Brahma's day? 1,000 Chaturyuga. And 1,000 Chaturyuga means, one Chaturyuga means Satta, Treta, Dwapar, Kali together is 4.32 million years. Multiply that by 1,000, 4.32 billion years. That's a day of Brahma. So in a day of Brahma, Krishna reveals his Vrindavan pastimes. Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. And when in the day of Brahma? Brahma's day consists of 1,000 Chaturyuga, and in this 1,000 Chaturyuga, there are 14 Manus. Each Manu's period of ruling is 71 Chaturyuga. Now the seventh Manu is Vaivashyata Manu. And during his reign, out of 71, on the 28th Chaturyuga, in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes and reveals his Braja Leela. Now in which Manvantara we are now? In Vaivashyata Manvantara. In which Chaturyuga we are in? 28th Chaturyuga. In which period? Kali Yuga, just after Dwapar Yuga. Right? Krishna's pastimes of Braja Leela has been just enacted only 5,000 years ago. And then, in order to make us understand the specialty of Braja Leela, Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna reveals, or Krishna explains, or Krishna reveals the specialty of Brajalila. And he shows us how to go back to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came only about 500 years ago and revealed the special purpose of Krishna's coming to reveal Vrindavan. And he made people understand that, but where? Only in India. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement, you know, what he came to give, will spread all over the world in every town and village. And in order to fulfill that prediction, he sent a very special devotee. Who is that devotee?
Srila Prabhupada.
And it's because of Srila Prabhupada this Krishna consciousness movement has spread all over the world. And it is because of Srila Prabhupada just sitting in Richmond, we have access to Krishna consciousness. How many of you became devotees of Krishna after coming to Richmond? So, this is how Srila Prabhupada has distributed his mercy and made this very special arrangement. Now, can there be anything higher than this? Krishna of Vrindavan. Relationship with Krishna in three very special relationships as friends, as a friend, as his parent, or as his beloved. If we go to Vrindavan, we'll find ourselves in one of the three relationships. So that is why we are completely confident. Actually, scientifically I can say we know that we got the highest. Because even in spiritual sky there is nothing higher. Can you measure your good fortune? It's inconceivable good fortune. And Prabhupada sometimes told us that he created our good fortune. He created our good fortune. It's because of him that we received this good fortune. Do you agree with me? Do you recognize that you have received the highest spiritual benefit? So now you got the highest object. What are you going to do with it? Utilize it properly or squander it? Naturally, an intelligent person will not want to squander it. So please take full advantage of this wonderful opportunity that Srila Prabhupada has created for you. Take full advantage of it with the full conviction that this is the highest thing that one can ever have. Even the demigods in heaven pray to Krishna that if we have a little good fortune, then please enable us to get the human form of life in this earth planet. So we got this wonderful opportunity, which is even rare for the demigods. So now that you got it, do you want to lose it? Sure? Very good. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Srinivas Prabhu.
The question I have is, when we hear this class of words like this, we got so much, like you said, this is the best we get ultimate. But still, after we left this class, maybe a couple of days, maybe even an hour or so, once we left it, we still go back to our normal mood and we start again doing our old routine, mundane stuff, everything, and kind of. Is it happening because of our karma is forcing us to forget Krishna? Or what is really happening to us? I don't know about others. I felt too much like when you give this class, this is it. This is the ultimate, and let this time freeze like this. I'm done, kind of. And why can't this, again, when I go back out, and again, sometimes I get, sometimes I don't, sometimes I get, and kind of. Is it my karma is forcing me to go in the wrong directions or wrong ways? Or am I not determined enough to get to Krishna? Or still is something lacking?
Very good. Very good question. Thank you very much. I think that is the dilemma that everyone faces. We got this, but how we are taking advantage of this? Because in the material nature, we have so many situations that drift us away from that. And it's not actually karma, but we are in the world of Maya. And Maya's business is to take us away from Krishna. Maya is testing our sincerity, actually. And in this way, Maya is making us more and more serious about our spiritual. So this is, you know, this is Maya's doing, Maya's arrangement. Maya will always keep doing that. But we have to become fixed up in our resolve. And that's why we need good association. That's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. So that we can have this association of devotees wherever we go. And those who are involved in ISKCON, they should also make it a point that wherever they are, they create that situation. That association of devotees become available. So, you see, an association of devotees, what is actually the association of devotees? Association of devotees is the situation where we can hear and chant and remember Krishna's glory. Yes, in the material nature, you know, especially, first of all, I'll say that today's situation is very complex, especially in the West. Complex in the sense the life has become very, very complex here. You see, just consider a householder to maintain himself. He has to have a house. He has to have enough money to buy the basic necessities like food, transport, medical insurance, all kinds of things. So, you know, like the whole situation has become so complex that unless and until you compromise to that system, you can't survive. In simple words, like to survive in this society, you have to work. You have to work from morning till night. To survive in this society, you have to work morning till night. So where is the time to cultivate Krishna consciousness? So this is the challenge that everyone is facing. Now, We have to try to make the best out of a bad bargain. Like we have to, like as you all are. You are working, you have to work. But in spite of that, you are trying to chant your rounds, you are trying to read Prabhupada's books, and even if it's not possible to meet the devotees every day, but once every week or so, you are meeting. And, you know, like in this way, try to make the best out of a bad bargain. And the main point is, no matter how difficult the situation is, don't give up. Right? And create the environment as you are doing. I must give you a lot of credit for that. So create that situation where association of devotees are available. And why this association of devotees is available, in simple words I'll say, you see Maya, this world is the world of Maya. Maya is very strong because Maya is Krishna's energy, Krishna's Maya. So Maya is very strong. So therefore it's very difficult to overcome the influence of Maya. But the association of devotees is Krishna's potency, Krishna's internal potency. And this internal potency is stronger than the external potency. That's why if we remain in the association of devotees, Maya cannot do anything. So the real solution is association of devotees. Therefore, wherever we have to create this association. First of all, let us try to become serious devotees ourselves. And then it will happen. Does it answer your question?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Srinivasa. There's a question from the Mayapur TV, Ankit Vora, USA. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj, Krishna is having a quality that he can expand all his potencies like energy, beauty, fame, knowledge, etc. What is the name of that quality of Krishna? That is, when he expands himself during Brahma's pastimes in Vrindavan, when Krishna expanded himself as cowherd boys. Yeah. So, this energy of Krishna is called his internal potency or Parashakti or Antaranga Shakti. So that is, this Antaranga Shakti again has been described that it is Parashya Shakti Bibidhaiva Sruyate. This energy of Krishna or Parashakti or internal potency has many names or many expansions. But they are basically categorized in three categories. Sandini, Sambit and Ladini. His existence aspect, knowledge aspect, and joy aspect, love aspect. And they're all swabhaviki. They're natural with him and they manifest by just by Krishna's will. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes?
You were talking of how at one stage there is the Karma Mishra Bhakti and Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So how does one raise himself from these two to pure devotional service, free from karma and jnana?
Generally, this bhakti, pure devotional service, is received by the mercy of devotees. Like for example, for us, we got the pure devotion, transcending the karma and jnana region or platform, is simply due to Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada came and gave us pure devotion. That's anna bhilashita sunnam. No other desire. Prabhupada taught us this is the ultimate goal. Like, why desire for something which is temporary? Even liberation, what will you do after you're liberated? Right? So after you become liberated, then you have to do something. So do that, what you will do after liberation. So this is how Prabhupada very systematically gave us this wonderful gift. So it's by, the point is, by the mercy of a pure devotee that one gets pure devotion. In Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained it very nicely. This point. That devotional service to Krishna, especially pure devotion to Krishna, is received only by the mercy of pure devotee. Yes, Ratanaji.
I have two questions. This question is, are the objects and the animals in the spiritual world, are they in Shanta or Dasya Ras?
It will depend. Generally, it is said that in Vrindavan, the predominant mellows are actually Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Like, for example, the cows. As you said, animals. The cows are in Vatsalya Ras. Cows treat Krishna as their own little child. Inert objects like Jamuna is in Sakya Ras. And although it is said that some of the things like the trees and they are in Santa Ras, but it has been also described that when you go deeper into it, then you see that, you know, their mellow is not actually Shanta, but Sakya Vatsala and Madhu.
And my second question was, you were saying how surrender is the beginning of spiritual life, and I've noticed even in my own life that maybe surrender was what started me on the process, but I feel like I've not fully surrendered. So is surrender a continuum throughout our spiritual lives?
Very good, yes. Yeah, maybe I should repeat the questions. That's one thing I was told, that when they transcribe, sometimes they don't get to hear the questions. So I said, okay, I'll repeat the questions. Okay, so Ratna Radhika's question is that surrender is the beginning of spiritual devotional life. Now, is that surrender only at the beginning stage, or it continues throughout? Yes, it continues throughout. And the nice thing about that is the more you surrender, the more you feel that you couldn't surrender. And that is the thing, that is the unique thing about the relationship with the Absolute. And Krishna is the Absolute. And we are minute. So more the minute comes closer to the Absolute, the more the minute recognizes the minuteness and the absoluteness of Krishna. So that's why the more we advance in spiritual life, the more disappointed we feel. Yes,
I was thinking of the point you were saying, how Krishna appears just once in the day of Brahma, and in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes immediately after. So if you consider the other Chaturyugas, then in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is still chanting of the holy name. Yeah. So is there like a chaitanya?
That's a good point. Good point. That the question is that in once in a day of Brahma, in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes, and in every Kali Yuga, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and establishes Sankirtan Yajna. And now, does that Sankirtan, is Sankirtan the Yuga Dharma for all other Kali Yuga? That's your point. Yes, there it is the Yuga Dharma, but with a little difference. Not only a little difference, a big difference. Because this chanting of this practice of Yuga Dharma as Sankirtan takes one to Golok Vrindavan in this Kali Yuga. Whereas in other Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan takes them to Vaikuntha. They don't take them to Vrindavan. And that's why a very special thing happens in this Chatur Yuga. The special thing is generally the progression is Satya Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Kali Yuga. But in this 28th Chatur Yuga of Vaivashvata Manvantar, Treta and Dwapar switches, overlaps. Treta goes before, Dwapar comes after. Why? Because Krishna will perform his pastimes in Dwapar Yuga, and in the consequent Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come and identify who this Krishna is. That's why it happens in this Chatur Yuga.
So in other Kali Yugas, is there another personality like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who comes to initiate the Yuga Dharma?
Yeah, he comes. To initiate the Yuga Dharma, Sankirtan. But he doesn't reveal the identity of Krishna in Vrindavan. He just points out that this is the means of liberation in order to be elevated. It is the Yuga Dharma to become elevated to Vaikuntha. They don't have access to Vrindavan.
In continuation to question of Adityanarayan Prabhu, and you explained earlier, like Prabhupada gave us the best, and we have the best, the access of the rasas of Vrindavan. So Maharaj, in Kali Yuga at present, we start our devotion life mostly in Dasya Bhav, and we worship deities and Sankirtan. And Maharaj, you said, at the end, we are sure that we're going to get one out of three. So Maharaj, one out of three depends on any factor, like our state of consciousness at the end, or?
Very good point. So the question is, we following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, we will have access to Vrindavan, and we will have one of the three, will be situated in one of the three mellows. Dasya, Sakha, Vatsalya, and Madhuri. Now, does it happen, or you can, in simple words, how does that happen? To which mellow one will be situated? Okay. The first consideration is, it is a matter of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and achieving perfection, and then entering into Vrindavan. How it will happen? As you were saying, Dasya. First we are serving in Dasya, right? We are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasya Rasa, and following Vaidhi Bhakti. But when we achieve perfection in serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha Krishna. Chaitanya, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Radha Krishna. So when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha Krishna, where are we? Yeah, we are in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, It's up to Krishna in what mellow he will situate us. And it will also depend upon our natural development of our relationship. You know, someone will feel, kind of attracted to friendship, thus Sakya. Some will become attracted to some resident of Vrindavan, like Nanda Maharaj, and develop Vatsalya. Or some will develop some attachment to some of the gopis or Srimati Radharani and develop that attraction to Madhurya. And this way, while we are rendering service, something will happen to us also. But ultimately it's up to Krishna. Our business is to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasyaras. And then what mellow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna will situate us in Vrindavan, it's up to him. We leave it up to him. We don't say, well, today we say Sakya is nice. Tomorrow we say Vatsalya is better. It's not something like that. You know. It's our business is to just serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Krishna will give. Yeah, there was some other question. Yes.
I have one last question.
Yeah, sure. No, it's wonderful.
Continue to Prabhuji's question. In other Chatur Yugas, when Krishna comes, he do come and perform his leelas, but he didn't do Vrindavan leela. So without Vrindavan leela, is there any information about Krishna and Maharaj, how exactly he places his role like...
That's why it happens only this Dwapar Yuga. In this Dwapar Yuga, Krishna reveals his Braja Leela, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and explains the mystery of Braja Leela. Otherwise, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the Vaishnavas, other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they couldn't understand who Krishna is. They thought this Krishna is an expansion of, is an incarnation of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And, this is his earthly pastime. And as an incarnation of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and pointed out. And also, stating from Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Ete changsha kala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Ramadi murti shukala niyame natishthani. Nana avataram akarod bhubaneshu kintu Krishna svayam samabhavat paramah pumaj. Krishna is not an incarnation, but Krishna is the origin of our incarnation. So, this is, but unfortunately, although in the scriptures, it has been clearly mentioned, but because it was not revealed, they couldn't understand it. They couldn't actually register it. So that's why scripture has to be revealed, by, it comes as a revelation. Although the prints are there, or descriptions are there, but it becomes legible, it becomes understandable when somebody comes and explains it to us or reveals it to us.
That is the reason why in Vrindavan, when anything happened to Krishna, Yasodhama, all of them are prayed to Lord Narayana. Is Lord Narayana is the one who is going to save them? Is that the
Yeah, key? Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. They are thinking Narayana is God, but not Krishna. Krishna is their little baby. So that is Vrindavan. That is the meaning of how they forgot. Yet they didn't forget. Sometimes they remember, oh, this boy must be somebody very special. And their mood is like that. Even if you're the Supreme Personality of God, so what? You had a question, you had a hands up.
Maharaj, I just want to ask about, like you mentioned various aspects of material nature, like how different different things that are characterized. So, like, I want to know about the soul. So, soul is described as like eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. So, like, this is the characteristic of soul. So, what is it made of?
Hmm. Yeah. So the thing is, the question is, like, the soul's characteristics are eternal, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. But what the soul is made of? That's your question. Soul is made of spiritual substance. Right? It's spiritual. It cannot be understood or conceived of by any material concept. Soul is not a combination of, you know, nitrogen and hydrogen and carbon dioxide. Right? Soul is not a combination of atoms and molecules. Soul is of another world. Like, sometimes in English there is an expression that, what is the square root of a sonnet? Right? A square root is a mathematical term, but sonnet is a poetry. So can you define a poetry with mathematical symbols or mathematical concepts? No, it's two different things altogether. So, in simple words, we can say that the soul is a soul is spiritual. If at all it is made of something, it's made of spiritual substance. And the characteristic of the substance is, it's eternal, it is full of knowledge, and it's full of bliss. Thank you.
Yeah, so last time you mentioned one point, Maharaj. I like that point still very, very nicely. If you really wanted to know, first of all, we have to go there to see what this real soul is made
right.
of.
Right.
It's still,
unless we go there, we won't be able to figure out. Because all our concepts here are material. We are judging everything with square roots. So we won't be able to figure out what a sonnet is. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Tat Param Hamsa Paridrajita Chandu Ashtut Tanishatu Shri Shiman Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajita Charjo Ashtut Tarashatu Shri Shiman Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem se kahun Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashani Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada.
Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj Ki Jai!
Shri Prabhupada
Ki Jai!